You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Gary Capewell, Craig Forsyth and Dave Massey in the studio. It's Perth and Worcester over jumps on Wednesday afternoon. We've also got racing on the turf at Thirsk. There's Bath and Kempton in the evening domestically and Irish racing from Fairy House as well. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Ollie Pimlott. How are you, Ollie?
Yeah, very well, thank you, Mark. Very well indeed.
Good man. Unfortunately, we've got to start this podcast with sad news. Corto Star unfortunately suffered an accident in the paddock and has died. It's terrible news, isn't it?
Yeah, awful. Many people's favourite horses. And, you know, because he's such a long-standing chaser, you saw him year in, year out, and to do what he did, you know, win the King George on so many occasions, the first ever winner to lose the Gold Cup and regain it. I remember being at Cheltenham when he first won his first Gold Cup and when he won his regained it 2 years later. It was incredible. My favourite moment probably when he won the Tingle Creek, actually. One of the earliest grade ones that he won in this very same season. He went on to win a Gold Cup, so he had such a lot of speed for 2 miles, and then he was managed to win over, you know, probably one of the most gruelling tests of all, 3 mile, 2.5 furlongs at Cheltenham.
Yeah. He was the reason, really, why I really started to get into racing. I was going to Cheltenham to the Gold Cups. I missed the year he won it the first time, went the year he lost it, was there the year he won it back, which was unbelievable. Yeah. And then he kept getting written off, and a certain pundit on at William Hill said he was regressive, and he came back and won the Betfair Chase at 6-1 against, you know, the likes of Long Run and stuff. And the scenes in the winner's enclosure afterwards were unbelievable scenes. He was really the apple of National Hunt Racing's eye, wasn't he?
Yeah, and even when he won his last King George the Sixth Chase, he was written off in the betting again. He was 3-1. Long Run was your even money favourite that day, and he put him in his place by 1.5 lengths. He wasn't all out that day either, and he had the likes of Crapton Chris, Summersby, Nakarat, all those old boys in behind, masterminded. You know, you forget, even when after he'd won that Betfair Chase, where he was, as you say, he returned 6-1, I think. Favourite that day was Long Run again, wasn't he? At 6-5 favourite. You had Weird Al, Diamond Harry, Time for Rupert in there. But you forget he was 3-1 to win that King George for a record, well, another record time that same year. And of course, his last Gold Cup was when he was pulled up behind Synchronised.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, the great thing about him is the fact that he kept coming back, and he was written off a number of times. He just showed great character, didn't he? His jumping got better as he got older because he had a few hairy moments when he was younger. They changed the tactics and went from the front with him in the Betfair Chase. It was so adaptable. He could win over 2 miles. He could win over 3.25. We won't see another one like him for a while, will we?
Well, I think you'll struggle to see another like him. I think his King George the Sixth record is going to be unbeaten for a hell of a long time, if not ever beaten, to be honest.
So, sad news there. We'll move on to some of the racing coming up. We're going to start with a bit of a look at the betting for the ARC, because there's plenty of stories knocking about the ARC. The betting looks like this, by the way. Trev is 5-2, shortened from threes at the weekend. 5-1 for Golden Horn. Jack Hobbs, 8s with New Bay. Snow Sky is 10s, 12s for Free Eagles, 16s or bigger for the others. Cricket Head Marek believes that Golden Horn is the most likely danger to Trev, who bids to win it for a historic third time. Do you see that way yourself?
Yeah, and it's significant that the three-year-olds get a huge weight for age pull. If Golden Horn turns up, he'll get £5 off Trev. The worry for me for Golden Horn turning up is what's the ground going to be like in October in Paris? It's usually pretty testing.
Yeah.
We saw him win a derby on quick ground. It's going to be quick ground for the Coral Eclipse this weekend, dropping back to 1.2 miles, taking on the Holder horses for the first time. But I think it's significant he's going to get £5 off Trev in the ARC, provided they both turn up, as is Jack Hobbs, of course, another classic winner this year. And the Derby form has worked out pretty well, with Jack Hobbs, of course, winning the Irish Derby, and the placed horses in behind all placing this weekend in the Irish Derby. So the form all stacks up. I think both Golden Horn and Jack Hobbs are very good indeed. of the ones in behind, I'm not so sure, but I think they're two very, very good horses. And I think on decent ground, I'd expect Golden Horn to beat Trev, given the £5 weight for age allowance. But I'm not quite sure it'll be that in October. So Trev would be the bet, but she's got to get there. I mean, she's very difficult to train. She's looked better than ever this year so far, but she is difficult to train, and we know that going into the race last year. She was written off, but I think she's moving a hell of a lot better. I remember at the Arc at Ascot last year, even going to post, she didn't look right. And I thought she looked to be feeling the ground somewhat at the weekend when she won. I think it was just a class that saw her through. So she appreciates a little bit more cutting the ground. She is difficult to train, but it's hard to see Golden Horn turning up if there's any soft in the going. And, of course, he's had a long, well, by that time, a very long season.
Yeah.
You know, they've been on the go, running in classics all year, both Jack Hobbs and Golden Horn. So they will have had a long season, whereas Trev's season is geared one way, all towards the Arc. She'll probably have one more run in between, but that'll be it. So it'll be a lighter, a hell of a lot lighter campaign for her. And we know Cricket had Mareka's got her going there the last 2 years in peak condition. So Trev's still the one to beat. You'd worry about the £5 pull that Golden Horn and Jack Hobbs would get in the Arc. And 3-year-olds have an outstanding record since 2000. There's been 10 3-year-old winners of the Arc, so that weight pull is hugely significant. But I just worry about the ground for both those two and the fact they'll have had such a long season. But it's going to be a really good Arc, especially now we've got a very strong, it would appear, 3-year-old generation, where last year's crop wasn't that strong.
So
it should be a great Arc.
It should. And the fact that Trev is arguably in better form this time round.
As I say, she's ran twice, won twice, couldn't have been any more impressive. Whereas last year, she, after Ascot, we didn't even think she'd run again.
Yeah.
But that is the one worry about backing Trev Antipost. I don't think she'll be much shorter on the day, if I'm honest.
No.
Five to two.
Yeah. Especially if New Bay turns up in the King George and wins that.
Yeah.
That would be interesting. French Derby winner.
It would have been nice to see the French Derby winner take on Golden Horn this weekend, wouldn't it, in the Coral Eclipse. Probably over his best trip as male of a mile and two for both horses. So that is a little bit disappointing. It does look like he is King George bound now. And we'll probably see Golden Horn, I would say, in the judgment after this weekend, and then probably to the Arc. So they're not going to bang heads, Trev and very good 3-year-olds over here till the Arc, I don't think. But Trev would still be the one to be on, but at 5-2 she's no real value, because I think she'll go off the same price, if not bigger, on the day.
Apparently Kingston Hill's on course to reach Longchamp as well. Roger Varian saying that first half, he's obviously missed the first half of the season. The plan is to still make it to the Arc, and it'd be interesting to see him in there, one of the older brigade, of course.
But again, he's going to have to give way to the 3-year-olds, and it wasn't the best of 3-year-old crops last year, and he wasn't the best of them.
No.
So I can't see him winning an Arc, if I'm honest.
All right. Anything else caught your eye on the news or anything before we move on?
No, I think we're all covered.
All right, let's move on then. Wednesday's action is coming up next, and we'll get Ollie's thoughts in four races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
We're going to start in the 3:10 at Perth. We start here with a handicap chase of 2 miles and seven. Well, nearly 3 miles, isn't it? And it's for the Stirling Cup. And we've got a field of only six here, Ollie. Which one would you side with?
Yeah, it's a good race, this. Best part of £10,000 to the winner for the Stirling Cup, we've mentioned. Over, well, now we've got the correct distance of 2 miles, 7 furlongs, 180 yards. It's hard to see past Kilbury Kid. He does look a very much improved performer for Tom George this season. He won at Ludlow. That was in the handicap chase. And then he followed up at Perth. That was in the Perth Gold Cup handicap chase. He held on under pressure that day. He was well supported, won by a length, where he beat Runswick Royale. And I think he obviously brings the best form to the table. He's got a nice weight of 11 stone 5. Cheap pieces and tongue tie retained. They're an informed combination. Paddy Brennan and Tom George have had a decent summer so far, and he certainly sets the standard. But I think at the suggested odds mark, I think he'll be around about the 15-8, 2-1 mark. I think he's a little bit short, and I'm going to take a chance on the Irish Raider, Organised Confusion, for Colin McBratney and Peter Buchanan. He's not ran since the 26th of January. That was in a handicap chase at Leopardstown, where he finished down the field behind the likes of Carlingford Lock, who and Hidden Cyclone, who of course went on to very much frank the form of that race later in the season. You've got to go back a little way since his last win, all the way back to 2011, but that was in the Irish Grand National. He's dropped significantly in the weights since then. He's at a BHA mark of 143. He was very well handicapped off 132 then, but he's dropped since that run in that handicap chase at Leopardstown. The form of that race could not have been any stronger. Campaign for the better ground, given he won an Irish Grand National on that good ground. I think he sets the standard here. He's got 11 stone 10, but he's a big horse. I've seen him in the flesh. There'll be no worry about him carrying that sort of weight. He's going to get his ground at Perth tomorrow. And I thought at around about 5-6-1 at least, he represented a bit of value against a horse who seems to be improving in Kilbury Kid, but how much is left is open to question. So Organised Confusion, former Irish Irish National winner, would be the selection.
Yeah, he's got that bit of class about him. Do you think you might get a bit more generous odds as well because he's been off for 886 days?
Yeah.
People might think he's, you know...
Yeah, he's had a long break. His last race was back in 2013, the start of 2013. But the fact they've come for this race is significant for me. They could have gone for a smaller race in Ireland, eased him back in, or even started him back off over hurdles. We see loads and loads of horses come back off this sort of break and win and have them fit first time out. This facility is that much better now. Years ago, it just wouldn't happen, but trainers can get them fit. And I think given he's clearly had his problems, been difficult to train, you can't run a horse back half fit if they've had a lot of injury problems, because it clearly just it doesn't help the injury. They generally flare up again if you've not got them spot on first time up. So this could be the time to catch the old boy. He's a 10-year-old now, but he's dropped significantly in the weights. As I mentioned, he's dropped 6 pounds since that Leopardstown run. The race has worked out extremely well, and he was by no means disgraced in that. So good pot on offer, gets his favoured ground. He's going to be a decent price as well. I think he's on the tissue, should be third or fourth favourite, so Organised Confusion would be quite a strong selection.
Okay, strong selection for Ollie there then. The 350 at Worcester is where we go next. This is a Class 3 handicap hurdle. It's over 2.5 miles. And we'll start here with Aficionado, who's just banging his head against the crossbar. He keeps finishing second of late. They tried the headgear for the first time last time, and he was done on the run-in by Champion Court, who got back up. What would you make of him this afternoon?
Yeah, as you say, he just keeps banging his head against the wall. Aficionado looked all but the winner. Champion Court came from the clouds last day. He did idle towards the finish and just got headed on the post by Champion Court. That's why they went for the blinkers first time. They worked the Oracle. Tomorrow, the cheap pieces. So no blinkers, have gone back for the cheap pieces. I just think, as you say, Mark, he keeps getting beaten. He's been second on his last three starts. I don't think he's throwing it in. I think just when he hits the front, he idles. And in this sort of company, you can't afford to do that. It's another strong handicap hurdle, 0 to 130. The one for me is Zip Top. Formerly a very smart flat horse. Don Ferguson's had his team in outstanding form this summer. He was pulled up in the Imperial Cup at Sandown just before Cheltenham. Prior to that, he won a novice's hurdle, beating a decent performer in North Country Boy and Lucky Jim that day. And prior to that, he was second behind Falsino Rustico, who was a formerly decent horse with Dan Skelton. I think he's been sold since. So that was decent form. And then at Fakenham, prior to that, he beat Schweiman, who's got an official rating of 130 now. He himself, Schweiman, a formerly smart flat performer. So good ground, ideal trip of 2.5 miles. Sam Twiston Davies, a positive jockey booking, and John Ferguson's team are in absolutely outstanding form. So the top weight Zip Top in the 350 at Worcester would be the one to go for. And again, Mark, he'd be third or fourth favourite in, so you could certainly look to back him each way. And they did win the race last year, John Ferguson, with Aylim, so they target the race, got good record in it. Team are in excellent form, and Zip Top still got scope for improvement in this sphere.
Yeah, they are in excellent form as well, aren't they? They're winning plenty of summer races. They had a big winner at the weekend who won by half the track, didn't they?
Yeah, so...
Fair enough. The 4:30 at Thirsk, then a bit of flat action. This is a Class 3 handicap over 6 furlongs. It's for the 3-year-olds and older. A field of 8 here, so we might even have an each-way shape to the race ones.
Yeah, let's hope we don't have any non-runners in the morning. The one that stood out this morning was Rex Imperator for me. He was racing off a mark of 110 when he was runner-up in a listed Windsor contest. That was just over a year ago. He's dropped to 83 now. You'd have to think he's very well handicapped. He has been tried over 7 furlongs recently, but I think his trip is definitely 6 furlongs. So he's back to a very low mark of 83, having just a little bit more than a year ago running off a mark of 110. So he's dropped significantly in the handicap. He's over his best trip of 6 furlongs. He's got a very good trainer combination. Dave O'Mara is the trainer. Dave Nolan takes the ride in the absence of their stable jockey, but that's no worry for me with the jockey booking. He's got to be winning pretty soon. The real danger will have to be Grebe. Charlie Hill's horses are in outstanding form at the minute. He's the top weight in this one. He just failed to hold off Lexington Abbey in a similar event at Nottingham, but he's gone up £4 for that defeat. So the £4 rise might just catch Grebe out. So I'm going to go for the formerly smart performer, Rex Imperator, as I say. Formerly ran off a mark of 110 just a year ago, dropped down to 83. Team in good form. He's well berthed in six. I think he'll go close. So Rex Imperator each way in the 4:30 at Thirsk.
Yeah, he's the one I've been keeping my eye on of late because he's very well handicapped if he bounces back at any point.
Yeah, and
so
there's been money for him in his last two or three starts. Yeah. When money comes for a horse of Dave O'Mara's, it's got to be noted, clearly showing signs that he's returning to his best. And as I say, the handicap has given him more than half a chance in this race. So Rex Imperator would, again, be a pretty solid selection each way.
The 7:45 at Kempton next, then. This is a handicap, a Class 4 handicap over a mile. It's one of the London Mile Series qualifiers. It's for three-year-olds and older. Nice field of 14 here, Ollie. You could state a case for at least half of them as well.
Yeah, it's a pretty decent race, this, but decent prize money offer. But you can see why, because all 14, you couldn't rule out any of them. The one that I'm going to take a chance on at a pretty decent price, I think, would be Arthenos for James Fanshawe and Freddie Tylitzky. Had a very slow start to the season, did the Fanshawe team, but this very lightly raced son of Dutch Art has only ran three times, makes its handicap debut here off a fairly high mark, arguably, of 85, but there's certainly more to come for this. Only ran 11 days ago, so there's no worries about fitness, and that was in a very strong maiden at Newmarket, where he finished 4.5 lengths behind Ashbridge Lad and Druids Ridge. Ashbridge Lad is fairly well regarded by the Meehan team, and it brings an official mark of 83. So the fact he's been given 85, I think, is fair, by no means more than fair. But Freddie Tylitzky has got an excellent strike rate for the Fanshawe team. As I say, they've had a couple of winners in the last couple of days. Yard, who was returning to a bit of form, he's not greatly drawn in 10, but at the suggested odds, he should be a fairly decent price. He would be the one I'd take a tentative selection at. So Arthenos for James Fanshawe and Freddie Tylitzky in the 7:45 at Kempton.
Okay, Arthenos the selection. Then any that you're particularly worried about against him?
I mean, you could give a handful. Arthenos, I would probably say, would go off favourite in this. Tardik, you could give a shout for. Mawathir, there's four or five. It's a devilishly tricky race, but if you can manage to find the one, you're going to get a decent price about it. But maybe Tad Keek would be the one that would worry me most. Lurks off the bottom weight of 82. Blinkered first time. Got a plum draw in three. Willie Haggis, team in excellent form, as is Dane O'Neill. Yeah, so he'd probably be the one I'd be worrying about, the bottom weight Tad Keek. But I'm going to take a chance with the Fanshawe horse, Arthenos.
Okay, good stuff. As always, then, let's just have a little bit of a summary, if you wouldn't mind, Ollie, spinning us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, so in the 3:10 at Perth, I'm going with Organised Confusion. The 7:45 at Kempton, Arthenos. The 4:30 at Thirsk, Rex Imperator. And the 3:50 at Worcester, Zip Top.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Ollie. Good luck and enjoy on Wednesday.
Yeah, thank you, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Ollie Pimlott on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. Gary Capewell, Craig Forsyth and Dave Massey will be in the studio. It's Perth, Worcester and Thirsk in the afternoon, Bath and Kempton in the evening. And there's also a bit of Irish action as well on Wednesday night from Fairy House. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.